This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome to back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to The Pulse on 107.7, and we're also streaming live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And we are in studio. Would you like to welcome our next guest?
I would, after yes. I tell everybody who helps pay the bills at this joint. Belmont Hall and Restaurant on Grove Street, Manchester, belmonthall.net, and the Red Arrow Diners, three of them, Manchester, Milford, and now open with a drive-through in Londonderry over the last month or so. RedArrowDiner.com, that's exit 5 right off of 93. Well, here we are. Monday is the running of the most prestigious marathon in the world. It's, I'm going to guess, 105, 110 years, but we'll find out for sure because the man who probably knows that, sitting to my left, he is David Salvas, a certified marathon coach. And he knows what he's talking about because he has or will have run 90 with Boston this coming Monday. Now, David is not 35 years old and just run. David, because this is what makes it that much more amazing is, well, I think we're about the same age, David.
66.
All right. Well, you got me by 2 years. So I guess maybe in 2 years, if I can run 90 marathons, I can catch up to you. But he is in amazing shape. He spends a lot of his time not only coaching people, but also raising money for various causes that are very personal to him. And we'll touch on some of those as we go along. Part of his resume includes running for charity from Coos County all the way down to the Mass state line. Another year he ran the other way from the Connecticut River to the Pacific Ocean. So he has
Atlantic.
Oh, I was trying to give you a little extra help there.
Yeah. Whoa, I was going to say.
I'm tired just thinking about that.
Yeah, no kidding. Huh? But still, it's still pretty amazing. And again, he's raised a lot of money over the years. 90 marathons? Is this what it's going to be?
This will be my 90th marathon.
And how many are Boston?
This will be my 20th Boston.
So a couple of big milestones for you this Monday.
Getting very excited about it. And the weather looks great. You know, it's almost going to be like today, a little later in the day, maybe raining.
Sure.
So it should be a great day.
I've known you for several years. You're a great go-to guy. We've talked to you from Hopkinton on some of those marathon Mondays. Let's start, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the marathon, let's talk a little bit about, we hear so much about carbo loading, and you're in remarkably great shape, and we've got all this.
Rounds of shape,
yeah. we have all this popcorn in front of you right now that you haven't touched.
No.
You have self-control. So I know you're in serious training with 2 days to go, 3 days to go. Yeah. So what are you eating just a couple days out?
Typically, things in nutrition over the years have changed in marathon training. You know, back years ago, it was like have a few beers the night before for carbos. You know, and now they're like, oh, never go near a beer. They used to say, you know, now the best things they find, chocolate milk for recovery after long runs, dark chocolate. If, you know, back when I first started, chocolate was like, you know, poison to runners. You can't have it.
Really?
So it was like, you know, don't eat that kind of stuff. And now they're saying for recovery, chocolate milk is one of the best things. Has a lot of protein in it. You know, gets your muscles back, recover faster. One of the things that I like, I love pasta, which is great. My wife makes sure that I have all the pasta I ever need. And she takes care of me in those regards. And she's like making sure, like, what do you need this week for food? And she goes out and purchases whatever I ask. I love salad. And my wife loves salad, but she won't make it. So I make salads. I have salad every day for lunch and like a half a sandwich with, you know, bread and meat with, because protein, you need the protein also. So marathoning is good for me in the fact that I like to sweat. I mean, I prefer to eat, and if I have to, you know, eat as much as I do, I'd have my own zip code if I didn't run. So,
what happens when you're? I seem to recall reading either on a blog or a Facebook post, and it's probably happened to you a number of times that you've been running and you just feel like either lightheaded or your blood sugars are going down or you've just overextended. Your body's overextended. Yeah. What typically will you go to, or will you just stop at that point?
Well, it depends on the magnitude of, you know, what you feel. I've had races where I've wanted to drop out. Last year, it was more an emotional thing. It was my worst marathon ever, but it was mostly emotional because of what happened the year before. I just crossed the finish line when the first bomb went off. And as I got closer to Boston, I started having an emotional breakdown. And I actually sat at the side of the road and started crying. And this medical person came over, started talking to me, and actually got me running again. And I thanked him, gave him a hug as I left. And I asked him what he did, you know, like, are you a medical person? Come to find out he was a psychiatrist.
So, oh, jeez.
So I got free couch time for about 15 to 20 minutes at the marathon.
All right, so you didn't get the bill.
But you do, along the race, you have things like Gatorade. And Gatorade's a great recovery thing because it has a lot of sodium in it. And when you sweat on warm or hot days, you'll actually see white on the sides of people's faces. And that's actually the minerals leaving their body. So you have to be very careful that you get enough sodium back into it. Gatorade is one of the better ways. The only thing with Gatorade, it has an awful lot of sugar in it. So you can't use it as a daily regimen, thinking it's a good drink just to drink every day. Mm-hmm. It's a good salt replenishment. I like margaritas with salt on them as my salt replenishment. Some of the other things I use, they have gels, which are all different flavors, which are energy things. But once you take the first one, you have to take one about every 30 to 40 minutes. So you got to figure you're going to have to carry these gel packs with you.
Sure.
So, and I've actually crashed and burned. My first marathon I did was Boston. It was the last one at the old course. And I ended up in the medical tent with five IVs because it was such a hot day.
Ooh.
So it was not a good day.
So was it a combination of the weather and perhaps you weren't as prepared as you thought you were?
I had a real idiot for a coach. It was me.
Oh.
I had just started running, just started marathoning, really didn't read up on everything I should have done, you know, didn't do the right training for it. So after that, I said, boy, I don't ever want to go through that again. It was, I actually thought I was on the death's door.
How old were you at that time?
I was 35.
Well, with age comes wisdom.
That's right. So after that, I read up on everything I could on marathoning. I ended up going and getting certified as a coach to do that for the Leukemia Society. So it's been a great road trip, so to speak.
Have you added up the miles?
I'm pretty close to have gone around the world twice at the equator.
So that's almost 50,000.
I'm up 53,000 miles, somewhere in there.
Now, my partner, Carol, has been very seriously on a workout regimen and a healthier lifestyle with a local trainer. Would you consider marathoning?
Do you know that, I mean, for me, you know, I've always been the big girl. And I have always wanted to be a runner and just, I mean, never thinking that I'd ever be able to be a runner. You know, sometimes like in my workout regimen, I'll get to the point where, and I'm not quite at that yet. I may be in a couple of weeks of when I'm on the treadmill, you know, before my cardio, before my machines, I love getting to the point where I'm walking real fast and then I can run for a little bit and then I'll walk and then, you know, kind of go back and forth. I can't wait to get to that point, but I've always wanted to be a runner.
It's absolutely. I've taken people in my coaching career who have never run a step and finished a marathon. And it's just, you have to have a plan. You have to stick with it and you have to almost live by that plan for 4 months. And that's what you have to do. You have to commit to a 4-month training regimen. That's basically the training length to train for a marathon.
So what do you think, Carol?
I don't know.
This man walks
I can send one to you.
So you mean you can send me like an outline?
Yeah.
Or, and then
yeah,
let,
I can send you.
I
can
look,
send
and
you,
I would yeah. love to
take
get
a look
that.
At it and see if it's something you could commit to.
And
I'm the same as you. I'm over 200 pounds. That's not a good thing.
I'm not
for,
over 200 pounds.
No. I didn't mean it that way. I mean, you said you were a bigger girl.
I am a bigger girl.
I'm a
yes.
bigger guy for a marathoner, for a runner. I mean, you know, I've got a thigh that weighs as much as some of those Kenyans. So, and you just have to say, you know, I'm going to finish. I'm not
right.
going to break any world records.
No,
and you know what? Your medal will look just like the winners.
Everyone else's,
you know?
Right?
You know, just won't get the Mercedes, that's all.
Well, they don't do that anymore.
They don't do that anymore.
They just give you a bucket load, wheelbarrows full of cash, you know.
Wow.
Now, even though I have a replacement knee, a knee replacement.
Okay.
That's fine.
Measles.
What?
Measles. And yeah, you can do it. And again, it's you have to have no expectations except to finish. That's my only thing I tell people.
Yeah.
You know, I will get you to the finish line. Doesn't matter, you know, when you get there, you just get there.
So what made you all of a sudden, I mean, have you run your whole life?
Oh, no. So, I'm not a former collegiate guy, a former high school guy. I'm a former fat guy.
So like, what was the point where you said,
I was 30 years old, engaged, you know, just quit smoking, put on enough weight to have my own zip code, needed to do something to trim down. One of my roommates was a runner. I said, oh, I can do this running thing. And he and I went out for a run. I probably didn't make a quarter mile. I thought I was having a heart attack. And I went, okay. So I went back to our apartment at the beach and I put the cigarette out and said, okay, I'm done with that. And then my wife at the time was also a smoker and she had quit smoking. So it made it a little easier. So it was kind of what I thought I would. I remember sitting there when I was in high school watching Bill Rogers 1975 win the Boston Marathon, set a new American record. I had a cigarette in one hand, a beer in the other, and a Twinkie sitting on my lap trying to decide which one I wanted, you know. It's like, and wow. I just totally turned everything around with, you know, the help of my wife. She's very encouraging, very supportive. She's always there. You know,
she's always
I need
there at
her,
the end, yeah. At the finish line?
Not always at the finish line. After 90, she goes, you know, I've seen you do this. But when I ran from the Canadian border to the Massachusetts border, she was there in the car supporting me the whole way. So, you know, you need that support. You can't do it without the support at home. And I attribute, you know, all my whatever success to her because she, you know, encouraged me to keep doing this.
Yep. Now, a marathon, for someone that doesn't know what a marathon is, is it so many miles? Is it
26.2 miles. And years ago when it first started, it had all different type of distances depending on who set it up and where it was. And then in 1908 at the Olympics in London, the Queen said she wanted to see the start of the race from Windsor Castle, and she wanted to go to the finish line and see the finish. So that's what they did, and then they measured it, and that became the distance from then on. It, you know, people used to say it was the distance from the plains of Marathon in Greece to Athens, where Pheidippides ran, you know, and said, you know, we conquered and then supposedly died. That's still folklore as far as Marathon goes. It hasn't been proven that he did that, but it's a good story.
I mean, don't you start your people at like a mini marathon?
Well, I usually start them at a mile and take walk breaks. So walk breaks are not bad. Jeff Galloway, an Olympian in the 1970s, put out a book, said you should run 32 miles if you're going to do a marathon. And then now if you read his current book, he says don't ever go over 20 and take walk breaks. So, you know, things have evolved over, you know, things have changed, you know, the diets that we had back then that we have now, everything's in, you know, a state of improving. So it's really been a great transition seeing how it's gone from back in the 70s when I first started running to now.
David Selvas, our guest, from Nashville, right? Is that where you're from?
Amherst.
All right. He will run his 90th marathon this coming Monday. His 20th Boston Marathon has raised a lot of money for causes near and dear to him. Was this a tough winter to train because of all the snow?
This was a horrendous winter to train.
So what did you do?
So dangerous being out on the roads. Yeah. Actually, 3 weeks ago, I was out running. It was like that last little mini snowstorm. And a guy was coming down the road and wouldn't pull over, ran me off the road. I sprained my ankle 3 weeks before Boston. And I actually was limping. And two young ladies from Brookline, I never got their names, gave me a ride back to my car, which was 9 miles away. And kind of saved me because if I had to walk on that sprained ankle for that long. So these two young ladies, if they're listening, thank you very much.
He'll do anything to meet women.
They weren't desperate women.
I see.
So, it was very horrendous. So what I've been doing is I'm a member of the Y in Merrimack, and they have an indoor track. So I've been doing a lot of indoor track running. And then as soon as it got good, I went out. And I did my last long run. The week after I sprained my ankle, I did 18 and a half miles. And, you know, it's still a little sore now. But like every marathoner, I'm starting to come up with all my excuses early. So that.
Now, how long does it take you to do the marathon? 26
miles. As I was 30 or as I'm 66?
Both.
When I was 35, it was 3 hours and 10 minutes, which is about a 7:15 pace, which means 7 minutes, 15 seconds every mile for 26 miles.
That's a good time, by the way.
It is a good time. And I'm figuring this year it'll probably be around 4 hours, 4 hours and 15 minutes, somewhere in there.
So. It's pretty impressive.
You alluded to the bombing of 2 years ago and the emotional toll it took on you, I'm going to guess somewhat unexpectedly, when you broke down and sat down and were comforted by a mental health worker. So you were there that day. Talk us through that.
I was actually pacing a friend because I was already qualified for the next marathon. So I turned around and I said I would pace her through the marathon. And so I picked her up and we ran together, and whenever she got a little lackadaisical, I'd give her some encouragement, words of praise, and got her up, and we turned on Boylston Street, and you turn on Boylston and the finish line looks like it's right in front of you, and it's still more than a quarter of a mile away, which is a long distance after 26 miles. And she wanted to walk, and I went, absolutely not. We're not walking. If we walk, you won't break your 4 hour goal. Let's just jog it in. And we jogged and we crossed the finish line and we got like 90 seconds past the finish line and the first bomb went off. And she went, oh my goodness, they're celebrating. And I went, no. And I still, whenever I say it, I have this picture in my mind's eye of the plume of smoke with all the debris flying through the air. And I went, they can't do that in downtown Boston because of all the glass. They can't have that kind of percussion. That's too dangerous. That was some kind of bomb explosion. I said, you go find your family and get them the heck out of here, and I'm going to go find mine. I'm going to go get in my car, and I'm going to head back. And as I was walking toward my car, the police were running by, heading toward the finish line. And fortunately enough, I was able to call my wife, who was getting her hair cut, and I said, don't worry, I'm okay. And she said, why wouldn't you be okay? Because she had no clue of what was going on. And I said, they just had some bombs go off down here. And as soon as I said that, all the cell phone service went down in the whole Boston area because they were afraid cell phones were going to detonate other bombs.
Oh, right. Forgot about that.
They shut down all the cell service in the Boston area. And so I got in my car. I started heading home 80, 90 miles an hour. No, all the cops were heading toward Boston. I knew I was safe heading back to New Hampshire. And my daughter was trying to get a hold of me, couldn't because the cell phones were down. She's crying. She knew it would be right around that time. And luckily, I was able to get through my wife, and my wife explained to her that, you know, I was okay and I was on my way home. And then my son called, same thing. Been trying to call dad. He's not around. And just a real horrendous experience after when I got home to see all the carnage that went on down there.
Did you think it would have the kind of impact on you that it clearly has, and is it diminishing at all, or do you get anxious?
I do. I, even though it's my 90th marathon, people ask me, you know, do you still get nervous? It's like they're all the same. It's like being the first. And, you know, I still, you know, toss and turn the night before, you know, and like I said, even though I've done 90 or 89, you say, did I do all the right things? Did I train properly? Did I eat the right food? You know, and it goes through your mind all the time. It doesn't matter how many you've done. You always question, did I do the right things for my training to get me to my finish line goal?
Do you get cranky if you have some days or weeks that you can't run or train or at least be active in some way?
What do you mean by that? No, actually I do. When I was working, I used to run at lunchtime. I would take an extended lunch. I'd run for an hour and a half at lunch. And every now and then my boss would say, oh, we're going to have a lunch meeting. And it used to bug me that he was stealing my time.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It was like, you know, I don't want your free Gainsburger. It's like, you know, I want to go for my run. You know? I do. And there was a time once where I had one injury where it was about 6 to 8 months I was injured and couldn't run. My wife was looking in the yellow pages under divorce lawyers. She was like, you know, I've had it with this guy. It's like, so, yeah, I do. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, after they get the bug, you know, when they get injured, I'm a member of a group called the Pathetic Runners Group.
Really?
And it, yeah, and it's all people who have never run before, or, you know, they're setting a new, you know, record of running 14-minute miles. And I, you know, I tell them, I say, you know, a 14-minute mile and a 6-minute mile is still a mile. Yeah. So don't worry about it.
Are you running with somebody or coaching somebody in Monday's marathon?
I am not. I'm just going on your own this year? Yeah, I'm going down with the Gate City Striders. We have a bus. They bring us right to the start line. We have a special, all the clubs that have buses, they put over next to the athletes' village so we can stay on the buses versus being outside in the elements. And so I'll be running with a bunch of Gate City folks out of Nashua.
Can we get your bib number so somebody can counterfeit it?
Well, actually, you can log on. I think it's 234567 text, and then look up anybody's name on BAA.org, and you'll get their number. And then it'll actually send a thing to their cell phone telling you where they are on the course at any given time.
Oh, cool.
No way.
Yeah. So my kids and my wife already have that number inputted into their phones, and they put in your bib number. Mine's 28087. And then it turns around, and when I cross the 5K mark, it sends a thing to your phone saying, Dave Salvas, just cross this, and it's still Monday.
Oh, yeah. In the Eastern time zone, anyway.
So that was 234567?
I think it's
BAA.org.
BAA.org.
And it'll tell you how to do it. I think it's 234567.
Okay.
Well, let's see, the marathon, the pistol fires in Hopkinton, what, around noon?
No, actually.
Is it earlier now?
Changed it from noon a couple of 5 years ago, I'm guessing. And it actually starts at 9:15 is the first wave. And
now, is that the wheelchair division?
They have wheelchair division. Right. Then they have impaired runners that go before them, even like 7:15-ish.
Right.
People with, you know, disabilities. And then the wheelchair division is like 9:15. Then the elite women, 9:30. And then they just keep moving it out.
So it's more of a staggered start.
Right. Because it just is crazy. You got 33,000 runners out on that course, and Hopkinton is a two-lane road.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like the New York City Marathon where they have the whole bridge on top and bottom. So it's, they figured the best way to do it, and it's all done by a chip timing, so when you start and cross the mat, that's when your clock starts.
A little harder to cheat. Rosie Ruiz would not do as well this time
around. They just had one in Ohio?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, woman just did the same thing.
Heartbreak Hill, is it everything that we hear people say it is?
No, actually it isn't. Heartbreak Hill, it's actually not a big hill. It's like less than 3/10 of a mile
it's
long.
It's Route 9, right?
It's on
16. 16, okay.
But it's right before BC. And it's less than 3/10 of a mile, and it's not that steep. It really got its name from Johnny Kelly, who ran a million times, won it twice. And Elias Tarzan Brown were running together, and Tarzan Brown was notorious for going out crazy fast, and he was walking up this little incline, and as he was walking up the incline, Johnny Kelly went past him and patted him on the shoulder and said, tough break, old boy. Well, I guess it kind of upset Tarzan Brown, and Tarzan Brown started running again, past him. Tarzan Brown won. Johnny Kelly came in second for the umpteenth time. And some Globe reporter went, that hill was a real heartbreaker for Johnny Kelly. Ah, and that's how Heartbreak Hill got its name.
Okay. It's not a big hill. Not only 20 marathons in Boston, but also folklore and the story behind the story. We need to take a quick break and come back with more if Dave has a little time to stay with us. You don't have to get out and run or anything. Did you run here today or take the car?
I ran this morning. I took the car this morning. Okay, I ran this morning before I came.
Because Heartbreak Hill at the north end of Elm Street's a bitch.
I know.
We'll be back with more on The Pulse. This is Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on WTPL.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello, everybody. It's Food for Thought live on the Pulse WTPL 107.7 and brought to you by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale & Company, which I do believe is originating live from the Beacon Building this afternoon, starting at about 2:05.
It is today.
True. And who else can we? Oh, yes. Our newest sponsor is Casey's Rib Shack over on the west side. It's by far best of barbecue in New Hampshire. And if there's better, I've not had it.
So. I agree.
So,
I agree.
Terrific. Well, we've had a really enjoyable chat with a longtime friend of mine, David Salvas, who will run his 20th Boston Marathon this Monday from Hopkinton to Boston. He will have run his 90th marathon overall, nearly 50,000 miles in about 35 years of running or somewhere in that neighborhood. He worked for BAE for a lot of years. And just a quick shout out to some of the charities that you're either involved with now or have run recently, because I do want to acknowledge the fact that you use your running skills to help people that mean something to you.
Absolutely. I've run for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and raised close to $40,000 for them. I founded a road race in Amherst many years ago, and we raised over $100,000 for their scholarship program. I've done it for the food shelters here in New Hampshire, and just about anyone, any of my friends who run, I support financially in their runs through Boston. So.
Carol, you did seem to have a little interest in running. Is this something you're going to think about?
I am. I took Dave's email down, and he's going to email me back the list of
running program.
The running program mm-hmm. that I'm going to need to do. So I'm anxious to read that.
Maybe coordinate with Rocco on that and see how it integrates into your
exactly.
other training.
Exactly.
Can you see why he's one of my favorite people to have on the radio?
Absolutely. I am so excited to go on to BAA.org, and people can get the information to follow a runner on Monday.
Absolutely. Technology allows you to do
so
that
cool.
nowadays.
You'll get
six
or seven different spots along the course where people are. So if they know someone who's running, they can just look up their name. It'll give them their number, and then they can just input it into that number, and it'll tell them where those folks are during the race.
Very cool. Well, good luck to you.
And the one thing I learned today is dark chocolate is good for running.
Absolutely.
And preparing. David Salvas, Godspeed on Monday, and so good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. He will step aside and make room for our next guest, who is Andy Thibodeau. I've not known Andy quite as long as David. She and her partner, Kristen Morgan, are the owners of Cupcakes 101 on Route 101 in Bedford, and it's been open a few years now, right?
It'll be 4 years this fall.
I met you at the Clash of the Cupcakes.
Yes.
Which is a fundraiser every year at Derryfield Country Club, and every year, Cupcakes 101 either wins the best of show or the best something.
People's choice every year.
People's choice.
Which is the best one to get.
So it... I mean, it's no accident if you win it. Well, I think we've done three, and you've won every one of them.
We have, and that's a big honor just because you bake off against all the local cupcake shops, and the people buy tickets at the door, and they eat them all, and mm-hmm. they pick their favorite. But, and they pick us.
Well, and I mean, and I know your cupcakes are excellent, but I have observed, because I'm the MC for this every year, that you do a little bit of trash talking.
Okay, maybe a little.
Whoa. What do you mean?
There's trash talking in baking.
It's competitive.
It is.
I take it to a new level. All right. Listen, if I'm going to go out there and put myself out there, we're going to make sure we win. Oh, it's fun. It's a great event. So for a good cause. We love it.
How many different kinds of cupcakes do you enter?
You only can enter one.
Oh, okay.
So it's stressful to pick one because each year you want to do something different.
Yes.
You don't want to bore them with the same.
So what have been your three winning cupcakes the past 3 years?
This year was chocolate pretzel bark.
Chocolate pretzel bark.
With a caramel filling. And then last year was fried dough with a apple cinnamon filling. And the first year was Sky Bar, which is a chocolate cupcake with the caramel marshmallow peanut butter.
See, caramel seems to be a really popular flavor.
I like caramel.
I do too.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? But doesn't it, I mean, in trending, do you see that a lot? Like salt,
we do a lot of salty caramel.
A lot of salty caramel.
And... Yeah. It's the salt sweet thing.
Right.
Same thing with the pretzel,
when
you throw the pretzels
the
in there.
The chocolate pretzel bark that you made, because she and Kristen made more than they needed, I kept sliding over and grabbing another piece of it.
You?
With permission, of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, everything we make is, you know, from scratch, homemade. Every topping we put on is edible and from scratch, which is important.
All right. So in today's world, I mean, this is like the darling, or it was for a while, a cupcake, the mm-hmm. cupcake world. you know, TV shows and competitions and cupcake trucks. And now I think some of the wannabes are falling by the way. What's it take to survive and stay in a very competitive niche market of baking?
I think you're right. And I can, you know, I'll stand by my word and I can fall by my word. But I definitely think that the weak will fall, you know, and shake out. It just because when you saturate a market with that much, I think only the best will stand. But we are actually busier this year than we've ever been. So hopefully that's a good trend.
And again, I know you told us how many years?
Four, it'll be four.
So I think any new business, you know, the odds are, again, it's like only 10% survive past 1 year, I think, statistically.
Yeah, it probably is. And kudos to you. That is really fantastic. Yeah. Now, I have a question. Like, are you, like, when you do these cupcake wars or, you know, contests and stuff, I mean, are you friendly with the other cupcake
Yeah. We have a good relationship with most of the other shops.
Diner owners or, you know, restaurant owners were always so friendly, but it didn't sound like
maybe. We are.
I was just curious.
No, we have a good relationship with most of the shops.
So you know Chelsea?
Yes, actually, we work best with her.
From Queen City Cupcakes?
Because I like Chelsea.
Chelsea's a very good person, actually.
But see, the first thing I noticed about you was that you had this attitude, and that's why I liked you. I said, well, first of all, how can I exploit this? I'll have her on the radio someday.
There you go. And I appreciate every single second of it.
Well, you have built, you know, beyond just selling cupcakes, aren't cake pops your biggest seller?
Oh, my gosh. They do so much. I mean, my printer was, like, printing and printing forever.
Look at that stack of paper. You can't see. She has a stack of papers.
My assistant upstairs was like, hello?
Yeah, cake pops are our
they are
big
beautiful.
Thing. Oh, thank you.
Oh,
We started wholesaling them. That's a great avenue for us.
Tell us what they're, because not everybody will know what a cake pop is.
Correct. Cake pop is we take our cupcakes, we add frosting to them, we hand roll them all into balls, and they're quite large. If you've ever seen them, Starbucks carries them. Ours are like three times the size. And then you dip them in chocolate. So basically, it's a cupcake on a stick dipped in chocolate.
And you know what I like about them? Because they're not huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're
like you said, I'm sure, you know, they're a good size because there have been some that have been tiny. But, you know, it's just enough for me anyway.
And it's
not
messy. You could just eat them on a stick. So, like this week alone, we have about 900 of them on order. So,
wow.
It's been a rough cake pop week. Because that's obviously
good.
Cupcakes is where, you know, our staple is. And so we have to keep up with that. But, 900.
Now, what are your hours at Cupcake 101 and where are you located?
We're located on Route 101 in Bedford, right across from Ethan Allen. Plug for them. And we are open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
All right.
We're one of the only ones open on Sundays.
Oh, well, but that's smart, even though it's tough on your family life.
There's a lot of showers, baby showers, bridal showers, and our philosophy is fresh every day. So they pick them up Saturday. They're not going to be fabulous on Sunday. So we suck it up and go on Sunday. Just to make sure the product's fresh and good.
I'm open 24/7.
Yeah, you see. Well,
yeah.
We love you and appreciate you for that.
That ain't happening at Cupcakes.
That ain't not happening. We will be closed on Mondays.
Well, in addition to cake pops and traditional cupcakes, although traditional would be a wrong word because this is not your grandma's cupcakes, basically, but you've also built a really nice sweet shop where you can go in with these large jars of all kinds of candies that we'll remember from when we were kids.
Penny candies,
yes.
Which, of course, aren't a penny anymore.
No, gosh, no. But that's the fun part of it. You know, we don't make a ton of money on that, but we enjoy that. We think it's fun. It's playful. People love it.
Well, it's the atmosphere, the ambiance.
It is. And we also use it, so people buy it, but we also use it to decorate cupcakes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do a lot of candy toppings, so.
That is so smart.
And our store is expanding larger and larger and larger with the candy. Since we've opened, it's probably at least tripled in size with the candy.
You know, I was reading over the list, and, you know, I remember these things when I was like a kid. Don't you remember Mike Razzles?
Oh, I love Razzles.
I do. I wasn't a big candy kid then. Do you have Atomic Fireballs?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. But Razzles, we used to buy them in the school store. I remember those. Oh.
You know, I don't remember what they were called, but do you remember those ones? And I don't know if you have them, but they were like, they were probably about, you know, half an inch wide and they rolled. They were like little red licorice, but they were stuck
together. Oh, the Broadway rolls. Yes, we have those.
You
do? Yes, red and black.
I have never seen
those.
Those
are good. It's actually one of the only licorices I like.
Yeah, I mean, I used to take them and you know, fling them like that with your teeth.
Well, Carol, you live in Bedford. You're not too far
from
Cummings.
I know right where they are. you know, there's nothing like penny candy, really.
I do love it.
I mean, just, you know, I mean, I don't eat candy all the time, but, you know, once in a while, go and grab. I'm going to go over. Oh, my gosh.
We put everything in large glass jars and you get a glove and you get to go and people seem to like that. You get to pick it all up.
Yeah, you get to, you know, Skittles. I like Skittles.
Oh, we have Skittles loose,
No. It's not the Skittles. The one with the bananas. What are those called?
Runts.
Runts.
Yeah.
I love the bananas.
And Chewy Sprees. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
You're talking way over my head here.
Quite the list, too. It is huge.
You can have fireballs, Mike. Don't worry.
I'll get you some fireballs.
I don't find them any places. And you don't anymore. You almost can't find the large ones, either. The large ones tend to be hotter, or maybe because they have more layers of hot.
Maybe.
Because when you get down, the little ones, it doesn't take long. You get down to the white center, at which point I
spit it out.
Say,
yep.
I don't need to ruin my teeth anymore or get any more sugar.
You don't need any extra calories.
This is all about the cinnamon hots for me. I don't even want to know what's in them because it's probably not good.
Do you remember rock candy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so pretty.
That I do remember.
That's so nice and pretty and...
We used to go to Salisbury Beach, and my parents used to let us get rock candy.
On a stick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Typically?
You could do it on a stick or loose. You could do it on a rope or a stick. Yeah.
Rope. Okay. Actually, I remember the rope.
Yeah.
Now that you're saying rope.
The ones on a stick are good in martinis.
There you go.
Yeah.
We can learn so much from this woman.
You really could.
This is Andy Thibodeau, one of the owners of Cupcakes 101, our guest for the next few moments. More questions, and if you would love your kids to decorate, we're going to tell you how they can come in and have a little hands-on fun at making their own. You're listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It's The Pulse 107.7 WTPL. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And we are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. And you can, Kale and Company will be up after ours. And he will be, as J-Dog says, at 30 Rock on Elm. That's what they
call it. I like
that.
There's
two nicknames for the studio. It's 30 Rock on Elm.
Oh, my. Charlie Sherman just walked through the door.
And the Beak. And yes, Charlie Sherman is in the house. Yes.
There you go.
Comes trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Trouble. Have you ever seen a man that has a tan 12 months a year?
No kidding, right?
Does he actually work? Maybe he's going to be on with Kale
he
and
must
Company.
Be. He must be. Because I know that's one of Ken's guests. Yes.
Always good to see Charlie. There's at least, he's got two or three clones that are always around town somewhere else making appearances. So it's always great to see him. Andy Thibodeau is here, and she is the only Andy Thibodeau, but I'm sure she's working on cloning herself.
I got to hope there's only one of me.
Because business is good. Kristen Morgan is your partner. Four years, Cupcakes 101, a growing, thriving business. Cupcakes, cake pops, and now cake shakes?
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
We do, it's basically a frap with a cupcake in it. I guess a blizzard.
So they can pick their cupcake?
They can pick their cupcake.
And throw it in, and it just gets all blended?
Yep. And they can pick toppings. And the cupcake disintegrates into nothing, so it just makes it a little thicker. And we use really good ice cream. We use Shaw Farm and Drake It Mass. We drive down to Drake It.
I used to live right near there, yes.
So I said, when we're going to do this, we need good ice cream.
Yes.
So we drive down there, and we get and they make their ice cream twice a week. So it's so good.
I can't even imagine that. Oh, my goodness.
I do not
have
a calorie count on that. I don't even want to know.
I won't do it.
There's no frosting, though. So kind of, you know, the ice cream instead of the frosting, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You know, that's better. Okay.
Cake shakes.
I can see that.
Now, we mentioned earlier that, and I've been in your store when there have been kids there having a little cupcake decorating party. Is that pretty popular?
We do a lot of birthday parties. We're booked for the next 2 months. I know that. Solid on the weekends. Started doing them on Friday afternoons to try to accommodate people. But they make aprons with fabric paint, and then they get two cupcakes. They get their own bag of frosting, their own toppings. It's cute. They have a good time.
It's like Muse without the bottle of wine, right?
No, we're all back drinking while the kids are decorating.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, did you see that they have – I need to know about this because I just do. Happy hour specialty flavors?
Yes.
What is that all about?
We do cupcakes with alcohol. We try to do one a day. Obviously, you can always special order them, but we do anything from like a mudslide to Corona, anything. Captain Coke.
Corona?
Corona. We do a lot of beer. We do all the Sam Adams line.
Angry Orchard.
Angry Orchard's
cupcake.
Good.
Cupcake?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, Shipyard Pumpkinhead is really good, and the Angry Orchard's really
cupcakes
good.
Cupcakes for grown-ups. I love that.
Cupcakes for grown-ups.
All right, so, I mean, do you have to be... 21?
No, most of it bakes off. Like with the beer ones, that we don't put beer in the frosting because that's just gross. Yeah, so it's in the cupcake. But like the mudslide has some Baileys in the frosting. So, but for the most part, most of it.
A margarita cupcake?
That's a really good one.
Oh, my God. Lemon drop, Irish brownie.
Yeah, the margarita has a, we do a pretzel salty bottom, and then it's a lime cupcake with tequila in it with a lime buttercream.
All right, so where do you come up with these things?
Yeah.
We just start, you know, you have one and you just keep rolling on it.
All right, so those are all hits. Tell me about one epic fail that just never happened. Because, I mean, you can't be hitting 100%.
Fortune cookie's not that good.
Now, see, that sounds
you choke on the paper.
It's pineapple, so it actually really isn't that bad. But it's a pineapple kind of base, you know, and they give you pineapple.
Right.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Yeah.
We do a corn dog one, a hot dog one.
Mm-hmm. Seriously?
Super Bowl. So we do beer and cheese, Bud Light and cheddar cheese.
All right, so tell me about, is there hot dog in it? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, real hot dog.
So is it like a corn dog? Is it baked around it?
It's in the cupcake, sliced up.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. And then then we brown some butter and make it like a brown butter frosting.
I hope you're using Hebrew National, which, you know, I mean, if you're
I
talking
bet
about.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm into the salt. I'm kind of over the sweet thing, if you can imagine. So I will eat the salty, you know, hot dog-ishy, cheesy stuff. It's good.
Yum.
It's good stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
How do you set a goal for how many new ideas you have brainstorming sessions?
No.
Happens,
I think my brain is just off now. You know, we just try to keep up with orders.
It's Cupcakes 101 on Route 101 in Bedford, right across from Ethan Allen's Furniture. And very simple to find. Closed on Monday.
Yeah. And like us on Facebook. We post our flavors every day on Facebook.
They are fun people. She and Kristen Morgan are the owners of Cupcakes 101. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you guys for having me.
We'll
find a way to bring you back only because we want cupcakes
next
time.
Yeah, I know. I forgot. I'll bring them. I will bring you back.
I know. Cupcake girl. And she doesn't bring cupcakes. But you know what? I'm happy.
We're on the counter.
You're the first guest in the history of the show that didn't bring food. But that's okay.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Carol's training.
Back.
She's training for next year's marathon.
Yeah, there we go.
Have a great weekend. We're taking Marathon Monday off, right?
Yes, we are. So we'll see everybody on Tuesday. And up next is Kale and Company. So we'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.